Ranked number one in innovation 10 consecutive years, Arizona State University isn't just ahead of the curve. It's creating new paths to success. Learn from notable clinical and research faculty. Online, that's a degree better. Explore programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Brothers, sisters,
oh, here we go.
Welcome to Penn Sunday School. I'm Matt Donnelly, and we are broadcasting. Well, honestly, I'm honestly right in the middle of the ocean right now. Penn and Reddy are at home in Nevada, and we have our patrons here to do a little bit of Q&A with Penn, and also he'll finish up the story with King Charles. Here he is preaching the love, Penn Jillette.
Here I am preaching love, brought to you by Masterclass. .com/Penn. You're going to want to buy presents for people this holidays. You kind of just got to. So why not do a masterclass? They have really good, once you get a membership, they'll learn all sorts of stuff. It's lifelong learning, makes it really easy for the holidays. But not only easy, but also a great, great, great gift. So here we are. We're back here doing, on the same day, we're doing show three. So that I can be covered. I'm in Australia. The King Charles thing, there's really not much to say, really. You don't get to see him. He's up in a booth.
Okay.
And then, I guess they call it a box. You meet him afterwards. You know, he comes by, and the poor bastard, he has to talk to everybody, you know. The whole cast of Oliver is in there, you know. He's got to say, boy, you look good as a singing dirty street urchin.
Was on a lap right there.
He's going to talk to the whole cast of, you know, Devil Wears Prada and say, "Oh, you look attractive." What does he say? You know, their dancer's not there. And he comes to us and goes, "Oh, you're still living in Vegas?" And, I don't know. Yeah. So I didn't really get. You know, last time I saw King Charles, when he was formerly known as Prince. I talked with him for like an hour and a half.
Right.
We just chatted, but this time it was like two sentences.
I guess
there wasn't much to say.
With this promotion, you can't get to him anymore.
Yeah.
Did you get to see the Wrong Boys? Were they part of the festival? He seems to like them a lot too.
Yes, they were. They have a new show called The Comedy About Spies.
Just one? They're slowing down. They're losing their touch.
Yeah. And you know how much I love Henry. Henry Lewis. Yes. It was a really funny scene. Very, very old-fashioned, I say in the kindest way. It's nothing but they have someone has decided. Henry Lewis is the head of spies. Right? He's the head of the spies. And they've decided to label all the spies with letters, right? And he is trying to talk, and he says, "I," and the guy goes, "Yes, sir," with the eye on him. He goes, "I," and that's what the whole bit is. "I see you." "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir."
Try to be. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it's every joke you could think of on those plus five more.
Oh, that's great. That's so great. Well, I can't wait to see it.
So
I'm sure it'll come around.
And one of the Royal Guardsmen or whatever came up and said to Henry afterwards, "I was in the box with King Charles, and I've never seen him laugh harder."
Oh, that's great.
The chat says it airs on December 15th.
All right.
And, you know, Piff wrote to me and said, "You're living my dream, Penn, and you don't even appreciate it." He said, When I was growing up, the Royal Variety Show every year was the high point of the year for my family. We all sat around and watched it, and these were the best variety acts in the world. And he said, "You're just prancing on there like it's another show." He said, "This would be the biggest deal of my life for me."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, Pip, this is our fifth time doing it." So, Ready, Rich, I want to hear your list of the top 10 shows you've ever seen in alphabetical order.
Just quick question, was Anna Lapwood there? Did you get to meet her? The organist, Anna Lapwood?
No,
the organist?
I did. Okay. I did not, no.
All right.
You have this right here. Yeah, Bob Durow. Bob Durow at Bloomington High School North. I've seen Bob Durow. It was really, really great.
What is it?
Bob Durow was one of my favorite performers.
What does he perform?
He's a jazz singer and piano player. And if you haven't heard Bob Durow, I can kind of one-up you. I saw three times Bob Durow and Blossom Dearie together.
Yeah, I missed that opportunity.
With Bill Takis on bass. Bill Takis, Bob Durow, and Blossom Dearie. So Blossom Dearie and Bob Durow playing piano and Bill Takis on drums. I mean, on bass. It was a really amazingly great. David Blaine, sure. Freedom Fest, the alt P-Funk All-Stars, sure. Leo Kottke, that would be a great show. Living Color, no doubt about it. Mac King, Crackers Comedy Club, of course. Michael Hedges.
That specific show, there was a fight between two different hecklers. And Mac was brilliant in letting it play out without letting it get out of control.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think I've seen him more than I've seen you, which is a lot. So there's a lot of shows to pick from for Mac, but that specific one, just the audience management, I've never seen that level before.
Who is Michael Hedges?
He's passed a while back. He passed that year. He's a guitar composer. If you heard bumper music on NPR, government radio, anytime in the late 80s, early 90s, it was either Leo Kottke or Michael Hedges.
I see. So he's the Leo Kottke. He's in the same.
It's a totally different style, but it's finger style, yes.
Penn and Teller at the Vic. You saw the No Fire Allowed show?
Yeah.
Wow. That was a good show.
Shall I cover that?
Sure.
So you would do a routine where part of the script involves explaining how you can't juggle fire sticks wrong because of so many years of evolution preventing you from grabbing the wrong end. Here, I'll prove it. And the Vic would not allow you to use fire that week.
Right.
So Teller comes out with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah,
there was something brilliant about that. I never saw before or since.
When that went well, it went really well. I did that like four times, same theater. And one time it was one of the best things I've ever done. And the other three times it was serviceable.
Oh, that's so strange.
One of those things,
right?
You can't. Yeah. I think it was the first time it was great. And the fear and the discomfort propelled me. You know, that sometimes makes you better. Sometimes it makes you worse. We wish that every time it made you better, but we're wrong.
That P-Funk show was the first time that I was on stage with P-Funk, so that's why it's in there.
Of course.
There was nothing extra special about the performance.
And what was special about the David Blaine King's Theater?
That set list you'll never see happen again.
Oh, I see.
That was the one that he couldn't do back-to-back, so there would be days off in between the shows because he was doing the water spout.
Oh, yeah.
And the fire thing and the lizard thing, a frog thing, rather.
No, thank you.
I hope I said that carefully.
Yes, you did.
Try not to tip anything there.
That's a good list of shows. I wonder what mine
was. But I was so confused by the show. I couldn't tell. We talked about it here when it happened. Mm-hmm. I might have been fooled in that. I'm still not sure exactly what happened there.
I don't know what my top 10 would be. I mean, certainly the residents. Certainly Bob. I might even throw in like the Monkees, the best shows I've seen. Certainly David Byrne, his Utopia show. I might even put Fido in Spain as a great show. Anyway, I haven't done the work on it, so I won't fake it. But
yeah.
There you go. But let's take some questions. We promised it now for 4 hours.
Okay. Santi has actually gotten on a plane since he posted this question.
I like that. But now he's sleeping. He's sleeping on the plane.
All right. Well, I'll ask his question for him. He typed it in the chat here.
Oh, no.
One thing I often wondered is how Penn and Glenn met. How did Glenn come to be Penn's business manager? And what's it like to work with Penn, or what is the job like?
Well, it's almost impossible to make this an interesting story. We needed an assistant at the office, and Crasher, who used to work for us, put a 3x5 card on the bulletin board at UNLV, and one of Glenn's professors pulled it down instantly and brought it to Glenn and said, you should try to get this job. Glenn came in. He had the lowest rung possible in the organization. And over 30 years, he's worked his way up to the top position. Glenn's job is very odd because managers always have multiple clients and they always work on percentage. Glenn gets a good salary. He has no one else he deals with. Well, that's not true. He's doing some help with Piff gratis, and he's helped other people gratis. But he works for us exclusively. And he does everything a manager would do, everything an agent would do, everything a company manager would do, everything a booker would do. He works for us constantly and does everything.
Yeah.
He works with us very closely, but a lot of it is running interference. There's no doubt about that. He makes sure we don't hear a lot of the questions.
He'll often reference pushing a broom and buying you guys socks when he started.
Yeah.
All right. Down here.
Amy asks a question that's really important, and that is, you become naked. I am quoting Yoko Ono.
Yeah.
And I am a big Yoko Ono fan. And when everybody posts those things of her screaming with Chuck Berry and with John Lennon and with Frank Zappa making fun of her, I just love her. I also think that she brought out the absolute best in John. And she was slumming. I mean, she was a bigger star than John in the art world. And I always love Yoko. I always loved Yoko, every part of her, especially her breasts on the cover of Two Virgins. And she had a show recently at MoMA in New York. In the past 15 years. And one of the greatest art shows I've ever seen. She had a sculpture that I still think about all the time. And I've tried to expand on it in a magic trick that I don't know if we'll ever do, but I've thought about it a lot. She had a chess set where every piece was white and the entire board was white. So two chess sets opposing each other, both of them white and both of them on a board. You couldn't delineate the spaces. And for me, that it's so simple, it's so obvious, and yet so profound what it says about teams and warfare in space. I just think Yoko is brilliant, and I get to meet her, and I just love everything about her. A huge Yoko fan.
I've asked you this privately. I always wanted a chance to ask on the show as well. To speculate why people seem to understand punk rock, but they don't understand Concrete and Fluxus.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think that I didn't see it at the time. I thought it was a question of being hip, not hip. But now I see that the Yoko Ono thing with the Beatles is, you don't need to add much to misogyny to explain all of that. And punk rock had such incredible rules of what you could do and couldn't do. And the Music Concrete movement and all of that, I don't think people understand how incredibly well-educated Yoko was and what an incredibly successful artist she was. I mean, she was born into royalty. Her credentials in art are impeccable. And had she never been involved with John Lennon, she would be much more than a footnote.